Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we just so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, we're just so thankful that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Father, with another day of life, Lord. Another day of health and strength, Father, and the wherewithal to rise up out of our beds, Lord, on the first day of the new week that we've been blessed with, Lord. That we can openly assemble together, Father, that we can worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we just pray that all of our acts of worship unto Thee this morning would be well-pleasing and acceptable unto Thee, Father, would be conducted decent and in order. And Lord, we just pray that if there be those this morning in the audience that are subject to Thy invitation anyway, Father, that You might bless them with the courage to make those needs known, Father. And Lord, we ask these in all things in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. There are two ways to sing a song. There's classical and mystical.
Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. We love you, adore you, we bow.
Let's go to God in prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow to you this morning, Lord, and first and foremost, thanking you for another day of life, thanking you for getting us up this morning and having us have an opportunity to come and be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for being the head of our lives. Lord, we truly, truly appreciate you. Lord, we just want to thank you for who you are. God, we want to take this time, Lord, to ask you, Lord, please, to forgive us of our sins, Lord, those things both known and unknown, Lord. We are not perfect beings. You are only perfect. But, Lord, we ask you that always, Lord, to always order our steps, Lord. Comfort us, Lord. Lord, at this time, we ask, God, that you would bless those that were mentioned that are sick this morning, Lord. If it be thy will, God, that you will bring them back to their appointed health. Lord, we ask at this time, Father, that you will bless the leadership of this congregation, Father. Lead them and direct them and guide them in the way that you would have us to go, O God. Lord, we ask at this time that you would also bless our brother Kenny, Father, that he have a ready recollection of those things that he has studied, Lord, that you order the words, your words and the things that he says, Lord. And if any that are here this morning, Father, that are in search of you, Father, that his words, your words, will help them come closer to you. Lord, we ask at this time, Father, that your love, grace, and mercy reign and rule in this place, O God. Lord, that we know that we are living in evil times, Lord, but we know that you are the comforter, you are the healer, you are the provider, O God, Lord. Lord, we ask at this time, Father, that all things that we pray at this time, Father, you will accept in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May I serve the Lord.
In John chapter 10, 14 through 18, we read of the Good Shepherd. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus, was that Good Shepherd. And we refer to as the sheep. And the shepherd, as we know, cares for the sheep. And it gives you an illustration of how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ feels about each and every one of us. That he wanted to spare us from the punishment of sin that we all deserve. And what was he willing to do? He's willing to take that punishment, our sin, and put it upon his shoulders. He was willing to endure the suffering, all the humiliation that he was subjected to. And he was ultimately willing to give his life on our behalf. When he had done nothing wrong, he done no wrong. He was without blemish. And if you read in chapter 18, it clearly illustrates that no man took my life, for I freely gave my life. No man had the power to take his life. At any time, he could have spoken words to save himself. And what did he do? He still said, forgive those that wanted to punish me. So as we prepare to partake the Lord's Supper, let us keep that all, let us keep that in mind. We have before us, we have the bread, which represents his body. We have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for your willingness to give your life, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for that great plan of salvation, to be that perfect lamb without spot or blemish, Heavenly Father, to give your life when you live the perfect life, to endure the punishment, Heavenly Father, the suffering, the pain, to know that your love was so great for each and every one of us, Heavenly Father, that you was willing to give your life so that we may have hope at eternal salvation. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this bread, which represents thy son's body, that we partake of it in a way and manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's bow and continue our thanks for the cup. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father, ever mindful and thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father. Thankful for his willingness to come down to this earth to live the perfect life that he did, Father. Ultimately, his willingness to become that perfect sacrifice, that perfect Lamb of God, Father, whose blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father, as it was shed. We pray, Father, that as we partake of this cup, this fruit of the vine, which represents that shed blood, Father, help us to clear our hearts, clear our minds, to singularly and solely reflect back on the cross, Father, reflect back on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that by doing so, Father, we might partake of this cup, this fruit of the vine, in a way and in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. For we ask this in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper? Raise your hands. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And we know the manner, as we can read in 2 Corinthians 9:7, the manner in which we should give, the way we should feel as we give, keeping in mind that our Lord and Savior and our Heavenly Father, He provides for us each and every day. You know, he knows our faults. He knows that there are times that we might not fully appreciate all that He does, but He blesses us each and every day. So as we give, let us keep that in mind so that when we give back, that we give back cheerfully. Let's give thanks for this opportunity. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto You, Heavenly Father, for the gift of life, for allowing each of us to be able to rise from our beds this morning, Heavenly Father, giving us another day to marvel at this beautiful world that You have created for us, Heavenly Father. We so thank you, Heavenly Father, for Your patience, for Your guidance, for all Your comfort that You provide for us, giving us all of our abilities, all of our skills, giving us the will to go out in this world, Heavenly Father, and to work, to be able to provide for those that we love. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we have this opportunity to give back, show our appreciation for many wonderful blessings that You have given us, Heavenly Father, that as we give back, that we will do so in a manner that will be pleasing in Thy sight. For this we ask for in Thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning's sermon is entitled, I Am the Door. The scripture reading will come from the New Testament book of John, chapter 10, verses 7 through 11. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that enter came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, Brother Gatewood.
Good morning. You know, on our way to church this morning, Merrill and I was going down the road and we first saw a state trooper. And then we kept going down the road and next thing you know, we saw a pig. On the side of the road. And I'm looking at it and Merrill said, What is that? And I said, it looked like a dog, but I said, well, that's a weird-looking dog. Well, we got up there, and it was a pig. So we continued on down the road, and we saw this trailer. And I said, Meryl, look at that. Pig's just walking around in the trailer with no door on the back. The dog's gone. So I'm like, okay. So I speed up and try to catch him. But by then, I see all these lights from that state trooper. Shoo! He got behind him. He had to tell him, stop driving. He pulled over and he come back there and look at that back door. Pig's just looking out at him like, I thought you were going to get rid of all of us. So then we get down here towards Michigan Avenue to go by on the bypass. And I'm looking at the stop sign. They're supposed to stop. So I'm looking, and I look over, and I said, you know what, I'm going to let him have it. And Marilyn looked at me, and I looked at her. She said, if this is an omen, what's going to happen next? I said, yeah, maybe I shouldn't preach today. But it's always a pleasure to talk about God's Word. Because when we talk about God's Word, we learn how to grow closer to Him. Then He'll be able to guide us, that we may have the gift of everlasting life. Let's go to God in prayer. Dearly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank yet another opportunity on this first day to come together to praise, honor, and glorify thy name. But dearly Father, as we hear your message, your words, that if we see fit within our lives, we need to change. Allow us to have the courage to change before it's ever too late. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I am the door. I am the door. In our lives, there are many doors of life we must choose to go through. How many times have we had the choice of which door to open? How many times have we opened the door and it was the wrong door? How many times we opened the door and knew it was the right door, but how many times have we knocked on the door and knew it was the right door, but opportunity didn't answer? You know, this reminds me of a new minister that decided to visit some members to get to know them. He arrived at one house, and it was obvious someone was there. So he knocked on the door, and there was no answer. Then he said, "Hello." Still, no answer. He took out a card and he wrote on it, Revelation 3:20, and stuck it in the door. And when the offering was done later on a Sunday, they found his card in the collection plate. There was a cryptic message, Genesis 3:10, on it. Reaching for his Bible to check out the scripture, as he read it, he started to laugh. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." But Genesis 3:10 says this, "I heard the voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." You know, there are a lot of doors out there as far as religions. But sometimes in this day and time, we've seen it on the news, where you go up to a door and you knock on the door, and it may be your last knock you ever do. Your last knock, just by being at the wrong door. There's no difference in this statement in Christian walk of life. If we knock on the wrong door, it could be our last knock, and we lose our souls to Satan forevermore. There are many doors out there as far as religions, but there's only one door, and that door is Jesus. I know this because the Bible says he's the brother in Hebrews 2:11. He is the chosen one, Matthew 12:18. He is the day star, 2 Peter 1:19. He is the cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20. And he is the bread of life, John 6:48-51. So I say it again. There are many doors out there as far as religion, but there's only one door to open, and that's to Jesus. You know, there was a time in the Bible in Exodus 3:14 that God said, "I am who I am." Why did he say this? He was talking to Moses, and he told him, "Tell him that. When you say thus, you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you." In Mark 14:61-62, it says, "But he," Jesus, "held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." What does this mean, I am? It indicates the speaker's existence. So if we look at Jesus' statement, I am is a declarative of that I exist. He says, I am here, the Son, the Lamb of God. I am. The Messiah spoke of the Old Testament about this, and he knew he had to live a life with no sin, no matter what. I want to stop there and ask you a question. Can we do that today? Can we live on this earth today with no sin? If the answer was yes, then I have to ask another question. Then why did Christ die on the cross? Why did he die on the cross? You see, when he returns, he will judge the sins of the world except for those who are already acknowledged. Conviction entered in a plea of guilty and sought for his mercy by believing on Christ. You know, when I wrote that part, I said, you know, I need to add this just in case we have some confusion. Now, don't get me wrong. When I said believing on him, because he is a part of Christ, you have to be a part of Christ. You must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. You must believe in Christ, John 8:24. You must repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. And confess that Christ is the Son of God in Romans 9:9. And be baptized into the waterly grave, washing your sins away and rising up a new creature, Mark 16:16. But it all sums it up with us that want to be saved. In John 10:7. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You see, this means that through Christ, the door is shut to an old life of sin and guilt, pain and loss. A statement was made, it can't be that easy. Yes, it is. It is that easy. You see, the people today need to know their sins are forgiven, that their guilt can be done away with, that they are accepted and the door of the past can be shut behind them. But when our God and Son, Jesus Christ, blot out all the sins and remember them no more, I got a question. Do we do the same? Do we do the same? How many times have you seen a person come up here and repent? And you knew exactly maybe what they did. How long are you going to hold on to that? Because you see, we need to be like Christ and God. A lot of times when we do this, we hold down a Christian. We cause him to stumble even more because we continue to batter them and batter them right to their knees because we remember that sin. We need to not hold on to things. Because in Matthew 7:1-2, judge not, that ye be not judged. For with judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure that ye might, in other words, measured out, it shall be measured to you again. You know, that's another sermon in itself, amen? So I better move on, because we won't be here all night long. The authority has been given to him by God. I know this because the first scriptures say in Luke 22:70, then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, yes, I am. So this tells us that Jesus is the Son of God. And furthermore, and it tells us in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Jesus is the door of the sheep. That's you and I. God is good to give us an opportunity through his Son that we walk on this earth and then die on the cross for our sins and rose us up the third day to be with his Father in heaven. But would this sacrifice allow us to give our lives to him? And if we continue steadfast his word, we will have everlasting life with him. If you're not already there, I ask you to turn to John 10. You know, it's a little warm, isn't it? Sometimes in life we need to hear it twice. Or we need to hear the same thing but worded differently for us to understand. There's nothing wrong with that. We also need to understand that what we must do in our life, especially when it comes to our salvation. Now, I'm not saying for a man to change the word of God himself to fit himself. What I'm saying in this parable we find in John 10, Jesus says it twice because they didn't understand what it meant in verses 1 through 5. How do I know this? We find in John 10, 6 says, "The parable spake by Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things were words which he spake unto them." But why you think he changed how he said it? Because clearly they didn't get it. So what did he say in John 1 that they didn't understand? He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth into the door, not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." But now let's look at verse 7 in John 10. "Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Clearly now he wants them to understand who was the door. Because the first one was kind of like he was a sheepfold, but never stated that he was the door. And as we learn, Jesus the door, he made it clear when he said these words, "I am." Meaning Jesus exists and I am the door. I thought about that. If I was at home and I invited everyone in here to my house, and we're going to have steak and mashed potatoes and gravy and bread and broccoli, we're just going to have us a good old time. And it's only at Kenneth Gatewood's house. But you decide to stop at this first house that's next to me to go on in. You sit down at the table. He got the same thing I got at my house. You sit there and eat. But I want you to think about it. Did he eat at my house? He went to a different house. And this is the same thing in our Christian walk. So many people want to be able to say, "I went to church. I went to church." But did you go to the door of Jesus Christ church? I got the same thing you got, the same Bible. I have to be right too. You know, we got to come to an understanding that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. "And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." What would you think if you didn't go in my house by me, you didn't get the dinner that I offered you? The one you got was somebody else's. It's the same thing with the doors, as I explained. If you go into the church down the street this way, I'm not saying, "Oh, down these people." Because each and every one of them has a soul. Each and one, every one of them needs to be corrected by what? God's word. God's word. So we now have established who is the door. Who is the way? Who is the truth? Who is the life? But one thing stands out is this. As I said before, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Meaning Jesus Christ, our Savior, won't let anyone
that's outside of his word, see our God. In verse 8 through 10, all that have ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, in verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. The thief cometh not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. In verses 8 through 10, let's set the stage for Christ. We know that he's a shepherd. But what does a shepherd do? He is one that maintains the flock, which is the sheep. He makes sure he keeps them safe, but he always called also the gatekeeper. Being the gatekeeper, he builds a sturdy wall to surround his flock and only has one opening, one door. This controlled the gatekeeper. What animals came in and out? He also could protect them while sleeping because he could lay across the opening, literally becoming the door. So if anyone tried to enter the pen by another way or take animals out except through the door, was a thief or a robber. In verse 9, I was told by a man, where it says, I am the door, and by me a man enter in, and he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pastures. I tried to understand what he was trying to say to me. He said, this means you can go into Christ. But when you go out, you can be a part of the world and still be saved. Does that mean that? Does it mean that? You see, this is when it comes in to a person says, once saved, always saved. That's not the case. This is why I'm talking about this lesson today. We need to continue to teach the backbone of God's word because clearly he didn't get it. He didn't get it like the people in John 10. We go out into the pasture. What do we find? In Psalms 1, 1 through 3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whosoever he doth it shall prosper. You know, I used to hear older people. I kind of got in trouble last Sunday when I said that. I won't say her name. I can see she's smiling at me now. Older people, they used to say this word, these words. I need to chew on that. Have you heard that? I need to chew on that. Well, what are they saying? What they're saying is, I need to meditate on it and reflect what was said. Do we do that with the word of God? That's the only way we're going to understand it, amen? If we sit down and read the word of God and we meditate and we reflect on what he's talking about in the scriptures, and if need be, we need to change where it says we're out of line with his word. When going into a pasture, you will find that God's word is milk. 1 Peter 2 and 2. It is meat, 1 Corinthians 3, 2. It is bread, Job 23:12. It is sweeter than honey, Psalms 119:103. In Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And the word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by the name, O Lord God of hosts. And John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not, but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I come that might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. And I will give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me. It's greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. This is an awesome guarantee. This is an awesome guarantee for living our lives for God. I look out at each and every one of you. We've known each other quite a while. But I want you to think on this. If we've known each other quite a while, how many times have we got together to study together? How many times have we sat down to be able to communicate, to go to someone else outside of these walls? How can we give the world this opportunity and this guarantee by living their lives for God to have everlasting life? Wally and I talked just yesterday, and what we talked about, the fruits of the Spirit, we cannot have no fruits if we don't do anything. We can't have this guarantee that God will take care of us in the judgment day. When Jesus stands at that door, he has no control. He does not have any idea when that door is going to close. Because only God knows when he's coming back in the clouds. I want you to think about Noah. When that door shut, who shut the door? God shut that door. Can you imagine the people outside? Let me in. Because then they realized, and guess what? They were lost. They didn't have an opportunity after that. They were gone. Today we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to live our lives and to give this message to the world. We need to reach out to our community. Allow them to know that Jesus Christ is the only door that they can come into. We got to get going. Because we don't want to stand in the judgment day and the questions asked, why didn't you give that message just to one? God will turn us away and be lost evermore. What guarantee do you have? Are you going in and out of the door, Christ's door, the way you should? Are you going out to never look back at the door of Jesus Christ? We have done that. For we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we grab hold, let us grab hold together. Let us continue to realize that one door is open for you and I to go into the pastures to learn more about him and to share the gospel to the world. If you're in need, if you're not a Christian, it's time to put on Christ. It's time that you go into the watery grave and come up a new creature, blotting out those sins as I talked about. Never remember them no more. And be able to have that gift of everlasting life by living our life correctly here on this earth with God and Jesus Christ. If you're already Christian, and you have strayed away. You too have that opportunity. I am so thankful that Christ died on that cross. Because I have the opportunity, if I'm in sin, to be able to ask for forgiveness and turn around completely and head the right way. God is good. We should thank Him every day that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, so we can see Him. If you need, I ask you to stand together. We sing.
If the mountain reaches for you and me, let us take no pain to its grave.
Yeah.